Scripture this morning. But there is a powerful truth for us to understand in God's Word this morning. And even as the Lord, as He sometimes does, stirs me and wakes me up. Hold on one second here. Trying to do some technology here. As the Lord woke me up, as He often does, early in the morning on Sunday, saying, okay, let's first hear all of those things that you need to repent of, Jason. We need to talk. I said, well, it's 4 in the morning. He said, yeah, I know, you need to get started. And so in that time of laying there and talking to the Lord and recounting the things that I've studied throughout the week and what He's put on my heart to share with all of you, part of the understanding was that this part of Scripture, just this little section, which, by the way, I found it so hard to find any commentaries that have a whole lot to say about just these four verses, these three verses that Peter and Jesus have together, this dialogue. But here's the vital thing. Because often in our lives, we're asking the Lord, why not now? Why not now? Why does it have to be later? Lord, I'd like it to happen now, whatever it is in your life. Whether it's you're single and you'd like to get married, why not now, Lord? Okay, I understand that. When you're looking for that perfect job, and you're struggling and struggling, saying, God, why not now? Struggling in your marriage relationship, and you want that to be healed, you want it to be restored, and you say, Lord, why not now? Struggling with your children, whether they're young or whether they're old, guess what, guys? The struggle's real. And often our prayer is, Lord, why don't they come to you now? Or why don't they know you now? Why don't they obey you now? You see how relevant this conversation is that Peter has with Jesus? Because Peter's heart is, Lord, I'm ready now to help you, to be with you, to serve you. And for many of us, that's our heart, maybe even towards ministry. We want to serve God now. We don't see exactly how He wants us to do that. Or maybe we see something right in front of our eyes, but it's just a little bit out of our reach. So this morning, as we look to the Lord's Word, to this conversation between Jesus and Peter, let us remember right now that God has a purpose and a plan for why not now. Let's discover that through the life of Peter. This conversation. And let's see what God has in store for us. And you guys have to pray with me. Father, we need you to be the center point of our time of study today. Be the one who speaks, O Holy Spirit, to us. And may it not be this feeble man up here. And Lord, teach us and show us exactly why not. This moment is the right time to serve you, to see change in our lives, to see you work and act. And Lord, oftentimes we miss the fact that you are already working in the midst and behind the scenes. So Lord, open our eyes today that we may see, that we may understand. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. In the Civil War, there was a battle called the Battle in the Wilderness. And there was a Union general named John Sedgwick, and he was inspecting his troops, walking up and down the areas, and he came across a parapet, this opening where he was able to see out into the enemy lines. And so standing there, he stood there and watched for the enemy's word. Now his officers turned to the general and said, General, that's not very wise. General, would you please duck your head down during the parapet? He looked out there and he said, none of them could shoot an elephant from this distance. A few moments later, the other second received a fatal wound. Shot from across the parapet. If we don't pay attention to the warnings that God gives us, the instructions that he advises to us within our lives, when now is not necessarily the moment, but it will come soon, we can often rush ahead of God. We can always often jump into something that the Lord will take us from A to Z to W to X to finally get to B. And often it's because he has allowed us to walk that walk. But in this, we're going to see that God has purpose in that ongoing walk. And he brings us back always to his purpose for us in life. Look at this as Peter and Jesus talk together. Simon Peter, let's set the stage first. Understand. There's a silence in the room. The upper room. The meal has been shared. The bread has been broken. The cup has been lifted up. Judas has already left into the night. The disciples thinking he'd be going off to buy something for the poor or maybe something for the meal that they're having. Thinking the best of Judas as he goes off. But what did Jesus proclaim? The one that I dip the bread with and give it to him, he's the one who's going to betray me. And yet, even as Judas took it and he left that night, none of them were thinking bad of Judas. Imagine what they were all continuing to think at that moment. Who's the traitor? Who's going to betray him? Judas just took off. He's probably going to go to something good. But who's the one who's left to fill up the word down? Is it me? Is it you? Who is it? Then Jesus continues to talk on. He says, where I'm going, you guys cannot come. And he uses that word cannot. He says, you do not have the power. You do not have the ability. You can't get there in your own strength. But he doesn't tell them, you will take me in my time, like he did to those of us on the Jewish leaders. He also commands them to love one another as he has loved them. And he is showing them this great sacrifice of love, even to wash their feet as a servant. So this silence kind of takes the room, and Peter, Simon Peter, says to the Lord, Lord, where are you going? Where are you going? And literally what he's saying is, Lord, I'm ready. Jesus answered, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will afterwards. Simon Peter at this moment was trying to find out, where was the Lord heading off to if he couldn't come? Lord, I'm ready. I want to be with you. I want to serve you. There's a determination in Peter's heart and mind to serve God with all that he had. But I want you to notice, was Peter really ready? We know the rest of the story, right? As the night goes on and soon becomes near dawn, where's Peter when Jesus is being persecuted, when Jesus is being set to fit trials and all these moments? He's there on the periphery, but where is Peter in that moment? He's denying Jesus. I often think about this idea of I'm ready for him. And many of us think in our lives, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready for what you have next. You got a wife for me? You got a husband for me? I'm ready. Are you? And there might be a reason why God is holding that off in your life. Talk about that new job, that position that you want, that dream job that you've been shooting for all your life. Lord, why? had in my own life a time when I thought, I'm ready. Let me set the stage. Buddy folks, okay? I'm 40 years old. Putting on skis for the first time in my life. Yeah. I took lessons for about 2 hours with kids that were about 5 and 6. I looked like I had this down compared to them. I get on the magic carpet. You guys know what the magic carpet is? It's just a little moving conveyor belt that gets you up to the top of the little hill so you can come sliding back down. So I'm up there, I'm there trying to get up there, and these little kids are just zipping right around and going, and I'm getting there, okay, look at the bunny slope. All right, I can handle this. I'm learning a little bit more, a couple hours doing this. Yeah, okay, turn this way, okay, yeah, now turn this way, okay, now, get it, okay. The piece of it, I don't know, they had different things. By the time afternoon came, when my daughters came sitting down the black diamonds, hey, Dad, are you ready now to go up the hill with us? I thought, this little bunny, I've mastered this. I've gone in half an hour, these little kids are going to have to stay here. But I've gone in half an hour from beginner to, I look at the sign that says novice. Yeah, I'm probably a novice status right now. I'm ready. One less story later. See, I thought I was ready. I thought I was prepared. And Jesus, as he speaks to Peter, he said, you're not now. But still, Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow now. And remember that word cannot is dynamite. Dynamite, from which we get dynamite, which we get the idea of power and energy and capability. He said, you don't have it within you to go where I'm going. Where was Jesus headed? He was headed first to the cross. For atonement for sin, for all of those who believe, no man on earth has the dunamis, the dynamite, the power, the ability to go where Jesus is going. No one. Only Jesus. And only Jesus was going to go back to the Father and stand in his presence. Be able to be glorified in the presence of the Father. The cross and then the ascension. Only Jesus can go there. We know that because we know the rest of the story. Those who really, John's gospel, understood that because they already read Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They've been there already in circulation. They knew how this was going. John, as he writes this gospel, is giving us a very, very specific understanding. All of these things that we learn in this upper room discourse, this time of Jesus preparing his disciples, notice how much attention John spends with us. He's got chapters and chapters of Jesus talking with his disciples. And remember the focus of John's gospel in the final chapter 20. So that you may believe that he is the Son of God. All of this discussion, all of this preparation, even this discussion with Peter right now, is so that we may believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He gives prophecy to Peter right now. He says, you cannot follow now. He wasn't using the Greek, moon. Noon. You cannot follow now using that word noon. And noon means there's a stillness to it. But it's going to happen in a relative time span, very approximate to where we are right now. It's going to happen literally. You can't come with me now. But what did he say? But you will follow afterwards. think about Peter's life. What did Peter experience afterward? Afterward, Peter stood up before 3,000 people and proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and 3,000 were saved. Peter, who would be beaten and thrown in prison, would see prison doors burst open and be let free. Peter would see Cornelius, this Gentile centurion, come to faith. Peter would experience all of these things, and Peter would also be tricked, according to early church father, he wrote that he was deceived by two men who said that he would, that they wanted to be baptized. And for him to take them and to baptize them, and he went out of the city, and they seized him. And he was crucified. But Peter, not wanting to ever suffer and have any glory that would look like Christ Jesus, said, "I will just crucify me upside down." Imagine the agony, the crucifixion already, and then all that blood pressure, everything going to your head as you're slowly bleeding and dying on the cross. When Jesus said, "You will follow me," he meant, you're going to follow me in trials, you're going to follow me in suffering, but also for the purposes of God. This is a reminder for us that though we might think we need to get from A to B, God might have X, Y, and Z before we get there. And this is part of God's plan as well. Let me share with you another moment in my life. Okay? Way back when, I was dating a girl called Kay. Right? I was dating Kay. And it just so happens when I was at the mall with Kay, I ran into a good friend who I'd only met once at USC at a campus outing, a campus crusade outing, and he was a good brother, and we'll call him B. So I was with K, I met B, I reconnected with B, and B introduced me later to a guy named D. Okay, B and D became my buddies, and K was gone, alright? B and D were my friends, and it was B, D, and me, and we were all roommates. It was great. B, D, and me, and one day it was just B and me. And then B and me were hanging out, and actually B went and he worked for this woman who needed computer work, and that's when he met T. Now, T was a girlfriend of a woman named Cindy. And T said to D, "Hey, are you single?" And he said, "Nope, not me, but Jay." Now, Jay, he's single. And so T said, "Okay, well, do you have Jay call Sandy?" Well, guess what? Jay said, "D, you call Sandy." And so D called Sandy, and Sandy said, "Why is T not calling me?" So I called him. Well, that's when Sandy and me became history. But look at how God takes us from this woman of this gentleman that I met in an afternoon on a weekend years ago, and I see him at the store, and we go, "Hey, let's hang out, let's get together. I meet this other guy who meets this gal who has a friend and who wants to set us up." But I thought, way back with Kay, that was going to be great. That's right. You have to pinpoint it. The same is true as Jesus speaks to Peter and says, "Not now, but soon. Brothers and sisters, you might feel like now is the only time it's going to happen." But the Lord is saying, "I've got so many more plans. I've got so much more I want to work through you and work through you. You need to develop, you need to grow, you need to become not just be Simon Peter. He needed to become, as God was going to forge him in the crucible of suffering and faithfulness, he was going to forge him into Peter, one who would be a stalwart powerhouse in the Church of Jerusalem. But Peter insists. He says this. Peter said to him, "Lord, why can't I follow you now?" And by the way, that word "now" is not new. Not within some time frame of whenever you're going to do it. He says, "Our king," in the Greek, "our king means immediately, as I speak." Why not as I speak right this very moment? Here I am, Lord. I will lay down my life for you. I will lay down my life for you. Peter saw himself, as many of us do, as very strong, very capable, very intelligent, and very devoted to the Lord. How many of us see ourselves now? That Jesus knew what was going on in the heart of Peter. And it's for us to echo and note that we cannot do this in our own strength, brothers and sisters, friends. We do not have the capability in our own strength to trust the Lord. I know I picked out a good picture, didn't I, Jared? I knew you'd like that one. Just like this baby, we think we're strong and mighty. But compared to what God has in store for us, we need patience. We need endurance. We need to persevere. We need to hold forward with the Lord. So, back to my story. I was a beginner. I thought he was a novice. I get up on the chairlift. And start going up, and we're going up, and we're going up, and we're going up. And I get to the top, and I've learned a little bit how to get out of these things so I slide without crashing and feeling good. Like, okay, this is great. The girls say, "Okay, Dad, the green one's over here. We're going to go over to the green one. This is a novice one. It's going to be great." People are shooting down the black diamonds and blues, all these things. And, yeah, I'm glad I wasn't there. I'm thinking, I'm a novice, I'm a novice. Well, I get to what looks like a sheer cliff. And it says it's green. And I'm thinking, this cannot be the way that I'm supposed to go. But I start heading down, and I go, okay, I'm talking to myself, going, okay, it says go to the right, okay, right, tight, tight, go left, tight, tight. And boom, down I went. Panic. Dad, here's your pole. You know, the girls are bringing up my pole. I think, the way I remember this whole scenario, I'm going down and they're going circles around me. I don't know how they're flying. They're going up the hill and down the hill. They're skiing. I don't know how they're doing it. But I was going down and every single moment was tumble, tumble, fall. They bring up a ski. They bring back a pole. Tumble, tumble, fall. I did this all the way down the mountain. I got to the bottom and you know what my conclusion is? I'm a beginner, not an novice. There is so much experience that I need to get to there. And I'm way down here. And I went back to that bunny slope, and I was just the king of bunny slope. And I was happy about that. Right here, as Peter is dealing with this moment of trying to say, "Lord, I was going to lay down my life for you." St. Augustine, as he was writing about this particular verse, paraphrasing. He was speaking on behalf of Jesus, listening to Peter, thinking, "Oh, Peter, why would I have you do what I have not yet done for you? Why would I have you do what I have not yet done for you? Once I do that, you will be able to fall." Our lives, we need to be ready and willing to wait upon the Lord and to need his instruction. Did Peter need his instruction? Do we all remember what happened in Gethsemane? There was one guy who brought a sword. Remember? I'll lay down my life for you, Lord. He came packing, ready to defend Jesus. And when the family came, that fisherman whipped out his sword. And with the skill of a fisherman, cut a man's ear. Together for this moment, this is the hour in which the Son of God is glorified. And in order for us to know and follow and see God glorified in our lives, we've got to begin to trust Him and tell Him instead of, I'm ready, Lord, I'm going to do it, give it to me now. Let's tell Him, Lord, help me prepare. Because when that moment comes, whatever that moment is, I want to be in the right place where you are. I want to be in that place that you have raised me up so that when those trials and when those issues come, you brought me to such a strength, place of strength and peace and hope, and I know that you will see me through it because guess what, brothers and sisters? Life is a trial after a trial after a trial. And Jesus set the stage if you're going to follow Him. What are those trials going to look like? He said, if you're going to follow me, get ready to pick up your life. The cross. So sorry to everyone who believes that Jesus just wants you to have a wonderful life and take away all your problems. Not so. Look at Peter. Look at what he had ahead of him. Trials and tribulations, yet glory. And this was all for God's purposes and plan. You see, He could not do this in His own power. He required instead the power of Christ. Peter, this man who is saying, I would lay down my life for you, is not the same man who stood up before 3,000 and proclaimed the gospel. Why is that? Because of Pentecost. Because he waited. And the Holy Spirit came and dwelled in him and equipped him and gave him all that he needed for that ministry in that moment. But here is the thing. Without God's enabling power, without His presence, without His understanding and His purpose and His application of salvation to our lives by Christ and His gifting and all of these things, without that, we're in our own power. And in our own power, what happens? The reason will grow. In the power of Peter, as he goes on that evening and into that morning, the power of Peter was empty and devoid of truly being faithful and devoted and loyal and willing to lay his life down. Instead, he got so irate and so upset. One time after another, people calling him a disciple of Jesus, at the end, he even calls down a curse, declaring that he doesn't live for me. And by the way, when Jesus says these words, he says, Jesus answered him, will you lay your life down for me? Truly, truly. Remember, when Jesus says that, he's saying, I'm giving you something that is absolute fact. Know this. I say to you, the rooster will not crow until you have denied me 3 times. And that word for denial in the Greek is a middle type verb. So there's passive verbs, there's active verbs, and there's middle type verbs. And what a middle verb means is the first happens in you and to you.
So as Peter is denying Christ, it's within himself that's happening. That lie is happening in his own heart. Brothers and sisters, we have to pay attention. You see how relevant these passages are to us in our lives, whatever we're going through. It is so important for us to not rush ahead in our own power, thinking that we're serving God and pushing other people's opinions and thoughts aside as they bring to us scripture, as they bring to us understanding. No. God's spoken to me. I know what you guys are saying from the scripture. I get that. But God's spoken to me. It's now. Brothers and sisters, as Peter understood, especially when we get to chapter 21, pride comes before fall. And I wonder if Peter that night, each time he denied Jesus, if he wasn't thinking to himself, maybe I was the traitor. Maybe it was me all along. The blessed thing about Peter is he didn't give up. He wept. And came back. And as we'll see in chapter 21, Jesus meets him on the shore and brings about the transformation of relationship and a new depth of understanding of the redemptive heart of God and how he works all things through his purposes, how his very hero, his very King, the one who had died and died upon the cross, and been risen again, and now the claims and relationship gets from Peter, asking him 3 times, do you love me? And giving him 3 times to say, Lord God, I love you. Lord Jesus, I love you. I love you. I want us today to consider him. Our own power, we are worthless, we are weak, we are empty. We will dry up, we will run low. So if you're looking for that spouse, you're going to dry up, you're going to run low. If you're trying to just make yourself look wonderful, instead, get to know the Lord, spend your time out for the Lord. If God has called you to be single for the rest of your life, then give yourself utterly to the Lord. That is a gift from God. If you're looking for that job, if you're trying to prepare, if you're trying to get ready, know that you can't do it in your own power, be in prayer. Look to the Lord's Word. Be content in the circumstances He has given you. Maybe it's hard. Maybe you've got a terrible boss. Maybe you've got a hard commute. Maybe all these things are pressure on you. But I want you to know something. God's doing something in your life as you're going through that. And He's possibly preparing you for where He has for you to be. I want us to also pay attention. When wisdom said to duck, and you're walking across the parapet, don't show yourself in pride. Like Peter saying pridefully, I can do this now. Learn your wisdom to wait and to duck. And my dear brothers and sisters, we will see all that God has in store as He takes us through the storms of our life. Father, we ask that the storms and trials we go through would not be so much that they would shake us to our utter core, but instead enlighten us in understanding that as we go through, we know that we do not go through them alone, but we go through them with you. And that makes all the difference. You are the one who supplies strength. You are the one who gives understanding when we think that things make no sense. You give purpose because even in our suffering, there is purpose in you over there. You show yourself to be faithful and true time and time again. And so, Lord, as you've shown yourself to be faithful in our lives, or maybe you're even showing yourself right at this moment in many story with them to know that this is the Lord God that you have worked from A to B to Z, that I need to hear to be with my brothers and sisters right now. And God, Lord God, we give you praise as well. I thank you for everything.